All right, this morning we talked about the thunder. Oh, and the song service tonight was all to get you to understand what God has done for you. And I hope you understood that. It wasn't one of those, of course, we know it wasn't jumpy, but it was just, I just put it together to make you think about what God really has done for you and where you're at, only through Jesus. All right. It's time that we quit wanting the music to make us jump up and down. We should just jump up and down just because we are God's child. You know, it doesn't take music to make me jump up and down. I can jump up and down at a drop of a hat, can't you? And you get excited about something else worldly. So we should be able to jump up and down, you know, just because God is God and we're one of his children. Right? All right. So tonight we're going to thank you. Amen. I'm going to let her go ahead and wrap on that. She's having a good time, so let's just go ahead and let her. She said that is so true. Oh, come on, some of you sour pusses. You know at home your kids make you upset. You jump up and down and scream and carry on, or you want to smack your wife in the mouth. Or come on, that's, you know, I know what goes on in homes. Jump up and down in a hurry, but with God, you won't get excited with him at all, right? This morning we talked about the thunder and the lightning. Tonight we're going to talk about the fire. And God said we are lacking the fire. We are lacking the fire. Remember when we used to have the services and God had me say, yell fire, you know? And but you didn't get the fire. And we're lacking the fire. All right, we all understand that God has called the body of true believers, to be glory carriers and to dwell with them and manifest his presence. He wants to manifest his presence through you to those around about you. His glory is a natural outpouring of a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. The glory of God is his resurrection power. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Well, we're doing something wrong because when we pray, I don't see no fire. And people come and go as they please, get up and down, in and out, you know. Kids sleep back there in the corner, and I'm going to put electric chair back there, and I'm going to have the zapper. I'm tired of looking at mouths gapped wide open while I'm preaching the Word of God, and I know God isn't pleased with that either. So, and if I see anybody else, then I'm going to put one underneath your chair so I can zap you. Okay, now, so anyhow, when Solomon prayed, when he finished praying, fire came down, all right? Exodus, and it's not our fire, you know, our anger. This is God's fire from heaven. Exodus 13:21 said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Why? That they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. God was constantly with the people with his pillar of fire. And this is what's going to be happening in the houses of your true houses of God. Don't do that. The pillar of fire is going to be in the house of God. And people are going to be consumed by this fire. I don't mean die. I mean just God just going to consume them and take them wherever he wants to take them. All right, the fire of God is a fire of love, purity, and power. We need his fire every day of our lives. How many of you get up in the morning when you're doing your communion or when you're praying and you say, God, I need your fire today. I need the fire stronger today than it was yesterday because today is holding a whole new bag of worms, right? I do not believe the body of Christ understands that there is a fire of love that burns for them. The body doesn't understand that God's heart burns with a blazing love for them. This is a love that never changes, a love that remains, a love that is waiting to turn your life upside down. We're going to seek this fire tonight, okay? Yeah. And before we leave her, we're going to have this fire. All right? Come on. Right now, we need to ask God for his fire. Let's just ask him for his fire right now. Just say, God, just pour your fire into me right now. Right now, Father God, I want to be so consumed by that fire that my whole life will be burnt up and all that remains is ashes, so you can use me for your honor and for your glory. Father God, we thank you for the fire. Astrid, stand up. Take one step out. The pillar of fire is right there beside you. Now just receive that fire. I see that pillar of fire right now. You move forward. You had to get up out of your seat and just stand by your seat. Not by hers. Stand by yours. Now you're standing in the pillar. Now just receive that fire right now. See, we have to follow God's instructions. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ask him for this blaze of his love. Now ask him for the love that's in the fire. And make it the most important prayer of your life. Father, give me your blazing fire of love. Let me be filled with that fire. Now, the body of Christ needs this fire in their hearts. It will cause you to change and in turn reach the world. You will not change because we don't have this pillar of fire within our heart, this pillar of love and fire in our heart. Our hearts are still too human. I call it that. And we need the heart of Jesus. We need a spiritual heart. This fire is stronger than death. This fire is more beautiful than life itself. This fire is more intense than anything that exists. Without the fire of God, you live without true life and without passion. Without the fire of God, you have religion, which is human wisdom derived from the Bible and insights that appear to be godly, but which do not result into the power of God. It is empty. It is void. It sounds nice, but it doesn't change lives. It doesn't heal the sick. It doesn't set the possessed free. It doesn't help the suffering. We need to understand that the fire of God burned intensely in Jesus. It was the fire of God that changed Jerusalem into a place of fire on the day of Pentecost, right? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, Jesus baptized us in the fire of God. Because John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, I, John the Baptist, baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, the body of Christ has been missing two ingredients. First of all, most don't have the Holy Spirit, and then they don't have the fire. And they're trying to work and operate in their flesh, and it's not working. So it's, you know, you need, if you feel like you're empty and void, ask God for, fill me, Holy Spirit, again, and baptize me with the fire all over again. There's nothing wrong with that. It's better than walking around empty. Love is a fire from the Lord. According to Lamentations, it is stronger than death. And Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's right there in the Word. We don't have it because we don't know the Word, we don't understand the Word, and then we don't ask. Ask and you shall receive, God says. Love as a fire. It is a love that consumes what is evil, a love that moves like a whirlwind of compassion and commitment, love that makes you real. The fire of God takes off the masks. Fire cleanses. Fire burns away your self-fabricated image. Fire humbles you. You know, sometimes we walk around and think we're all that and then some, don't we? And we need that fire of God to come down. That's why I said, you know, just burn us up. There's nothing left of ashes and God. Then we become gods. All of us is burned and there's nothing left of us. Fire strips away your fabricated clothes, consumes the dirt, and leaves you cleansed and free so Jesus can clothe you with his humble garments. If we are to be glory carriers, it is this fire that we need. We already know that we will never reach the people who are lost with words alone. We've tried that. In the flesh, we can tickle people's ears, but that will not take them to heaven. You know, and I've said to God over the years many, many times, I said, God, your word is not doing it. We need something stronger than your word to get to the people, because the word, they just hear the word and just go on and forget about it. And what we needed was the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness, and we needed the fire, the fire of love that God wants to consume us with. Some people think the more head knowledge and charisma they have, the more power they have, but that is not true. I don't care how well you can talk or how well you can write a book or how well you can do whatever. If you're not walking in spirit, you're absolutely nothing but a piece of flesh walking around doing worldly things. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love is a fire that burns right through the harness of self-defense. Love makes ice-cold pride melt. The body of Christ needs this love. Without it, you are empty. Without it, you do not have what God wants you to have. The five virgins who had the fire of God. All right, the 10 virgins had their beautifully polished Christian oil lamps with them. But only a few of them also had the oil that could make the fire burn. You look around in the body of Christ, you see people come in all dressed up and all fancied up, and they sit there, and they're religious. They do not have the power that they need to have to do the things that God wants them to have. And Matthew 25, verse 1 said, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. See, the oil is the Holy Spirit. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Really full of the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you every second of your life? He should, shouldn't he? Everything you should do should be led totally and completely by the Holy Spirit. All right, question. Is your oil lamp empty? Ask the Father for the oil so your fire can burn. Love is action. Love is real. Love is God. Ask for the fire to burn brightly within. Father, forgive us that we are so busy with our own things and ignore you. Right? Father, forgive us that we do things our own way without being led by your Spirit. Father, forgive us that we so easily talk about you, but run the other way really fast when you approach us with your fire and love, power and passion. Forgive us, Lord. Father, you are life, you are love, you are pure fire, real fire. Change us, Lord. Take our words away and give us fire. We just need to learn to shut up. And we just need to learn to let the love of the fire of God burn through us. I know that too many of us, we talk too much and we don't listen. You know, for God's voice. We don't walk in the Spirit, and we're just always just talking. And we need to quit that. Make us real, Lord. Burn through our pride and defend us with your consuming fire. Make us real, Lord. Make us blaze with your fire. Baptize us in the eternal fire of your love. Pray for the fire of God all your life. You can't just pray right now and stay consumed with this fire. The cares of life will cause this fire to die. Isn't that true? Every day we need new fire. The world is seeking fire. They don't care about you. They don't want to hear your advice to them. They are seeking Jesus. The world is seeking love and authenticity. The world is seeking passion, answers, and hope. They need you to be you when you're talking. They don't need you to be some thing out there wooing around. They need you to be you. They need you to be real. Hey, one day I was the worst sinner in the world is what they need to hear from you. But I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and look at me now. And then they might even, you might even give them some, yes, what your testimony of where you were, what you were, and what you are and where you are today. A brand new creation in Christ Jesus. What you really are is who you should have been from day one. You know, before the enemy came in here and took you off course. And finally God got you back on course, and now you are who you should have been. The world is seeking the power that frees, heals, and delivers from the swamps of darkness. That is the fire God wants to give to you, daily asking for a fresh new infilling of this fire. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." You can't be a heathen or a half Christian and have this happen. You have to be totally and completely sold out to God. Then ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. All right. Two men sit in the house of God. They're not really committed to God at all. And then they ask, and they say, "Well, I asked, and I didn't receive. I knocked, and it wasn't open. You know, I was seeking, and I didn't find." It's because you weren't committed to God. You were just going to see if it worked. And it didn't work. It doesn't work that way. All right. All right, let's talk about the fire of God in the Bible in Matthew 3:11. "I baptize you with," this is what we read this before, we're reading it again. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I." The he is Jesus. "Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." How many of you, when you were born, went up to somebody said you need to be born again, so you was born again and you never received the Spirit? You never received any fire. They dunked you in water and told you, "Go on your way. It's done. You're finished. You're good. You're going to go to heaven." When we do baptisms, we don't do that. And we make sure that the Holy Spirit, he carries you away and he baptizes you. God baptizes you in the Spirit and in fire. How many of you went to different churches? You know, we were in the service. We traveled. Every church I went to, immediately had to go get baptized. You know, I didn't feel any different when I come up as I did when I went down, you know, and they just dunked you, you know. And then one day I was really baptized. We went to the little river out in the country and was baptized, and I was changed. You know, there's so much, such a difference in just being baptized. You have to be baptized in the Spirit and in the fire. All right, Ezekiel 1:26 says, "And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him." Talking about God. "Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around." This description here shows that God consists of fire. His body is fire. And that is why fire is so important. If we claim that he is our Father, then we should be like our Father. We should be filled with the fire of God. Jesus, we know, was filled with the fire of God. And we're supposed to be just like Jesus, right? Exodus 24:17. "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." When we first came here, and we've had, you know, revival all the time, all every day, people actually said there was fire. They could see flames of fire on top of the building out there. And when they would come into the door, they'd fall out in the Spirit at the door and have to be dragged in. That's going to happen again. but in a greater way, because God said not to want what I used to have, but there's so much greater that he wants to give the church. So all that's well and good to remember that he did that, but now we want the greater thing that he's doing. Whatever that is, I don't know. All right. Zechariah 13, verse 8, in the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. See that? We've been through the refiner's fire. We've been tested over and over and over again. And then God said, they will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. You know, until you are filled with the Spirit, until you go through this refining fire, you can't really say that. You can say it with your lips, but it never comes to the very depths of your heart. And I don't know about you, but I hear so many people just sort of talk about God just like it's an everyday thing. It is not an everyday thing. It is a thing that's birthed deep down in your soul, in your spirit, man. And it just comes bubbling up. Just comes bubbling up. And just like Alan told me, all I want to do is cry anymore. He's truly baptized with that fire. Because when you're truly baptized with that fire, you want to cry all the time. And you cannot stop yourself from it. You'd be talking and all of a sudden you find yourself crying. This is a type of baptism that everybody needs. We need to be baptized in the Spirit, in the fire of love, and it needs to consume us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, so that when God sends us out there or sends people in, whichever he wants to do, we'll have that baptism of fire and that love, and we will be able to transfer it onto the people that come through the door or the people you meet on the street. I just think it'd be wonderful if people who are saved and who are fighting, let's say, drug addiction, and they went to get their fix for the day, and all of a sudden, the glory of God hits them, and then everybody in that room is hit, and that whole room is saved. Won't that be wonderful? And we do have people out there who are truly born again, but they got into addictions through, and I don't know, a lot of reasons, and who are out there buying drugs, and God could use that vessel anytime he so chooses. So instead of saying, God, clean them up, say, God, clean the whole bunch up. Use that vessel, you know, glorify yourself through that vessel and clean everybody around them up. You might be going to a wine party. I get a lot of emails about wine parties. You might be going to a wine party. You're going, hey, how is everybody? Blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're God's vessel, but you're messed up. But the glory of God hits you, and then that hits everybody in the room. Then you're all on the floor, not because you're drunk with wine, but because you're drunk with a new wine, the Holy Spirit. This is what's going to be happening. God's going to use you in the state that you're in and refine you and save multitudes. So, you know, even though you're trying to get yourself together and cleaned up, don't get upset with God because he hasn't yanked that stuff out of you. Just be prepared, and I don't think you're ever going to be prepared for the moment God uses you. When he cleans you up and then uses you. You might be standing with a wine glass in your hand and just having a good old party time, and all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to consume you, and you're just going to be standing. And then the anointing that's coming off you is just going to vibrate all through the room, and everybody's going to be saved. You know, we are already in the greatest move of God that there ever has been. And we keep saying we're headed. We're not headed. You know, how many years ago did God say, give us that scripture? You know, it started then. And God's been purifying us all these years so that we could be the vessels of honor that he could work through. And I don't know about you, but it should have been a long time ago, according to me. But according to God, he knows perfect timing. So God is asking you tonight, do you really want to be baptized in that fire? So how did you make out Astrid? Yeah, because the pillar was right there at your seat. See, when you came up a seat, the pillar wasn't there, and you weren't receiving nothing because you weren't standing in the pillar of fire. See, so that's why I said, go back to your seat, stand by your seat. And that's the only place I saw it. So, you know, I couldn't tell you to do something that it wasn't there. But God wants to baptize everybody with that pillar of fire. You know, I think it would be wonderful. I mean, you might get arrested, but I think it would be wonderful if you stepped into a building and you turned into a pillar of fire. You know, and then everybody in that whole building. Because God says whole hospitals are going to be emptied out. Just when one person walked into the hospital, the whole hospital was going to be emptied out, healed. So are you, I feel the Holy Spirit, are you one of those vessels that God can use to walk into a room and become a pillar of fire and just empty out the whole hospital? Right? Or you can walk into your home is a den of thieves, and you can walk into your home and you walk through the door, all of a sudden a pillar, the glory of God just saturates the whole inside of your house, and everybody's slain in the spirit, not drunk, but slain in the spirit, and when they come to, they're all saved, they're all cleansed, all right? What's it say in the Bible? They're not drunk as some suppose, you know, but they've been touched by God. This is where we're at. Are you one of those vessels that God can use? We're already there. And God has told, like, you know what God told Alan this morning, that some have not yet, they have not given her all to God. You're going to have to give your all to God and quit your sin nature. It is not going to work. You can't be in sin. It's like when God, this person I was having a hard time loving, you know, and I wasn't getting anywhere with anything. And so every time the word love came up, God put this person's name in my mind. And I knew I had to quit having animosity, and I had to love that person if I was going to move on. And when I made that choice, things started happening for my good. Pay attention to what God is asking you to do. Pay attention to the areas in your life that God is trying to get you to change. And then just do it. You know, it took me a couple months, but just do it and get over it. You know, and then you'll find out that person doesn't bother you at all. You know? You know, I know God said just be, but then he also says just do. So we've been being for quite some time. Now we have to be doing now. Walk in the fullness of God. Let the fire of God just burn through you to touch the other people. I'm telling you, we are not walking in the fullness of everything God wants us to. If we were, when we walked into a room, people would notice. They would notice. You don't have to say a word. They were just like that when years ago when I walked in that funeral home, it was really dark in there. They couldn't see me at all, but they knew Jesus had walked into the room. Are you understanding this? Everybody got quiet. Who just came in? Are you at that place? Are you at that place? When you walk into a room, the whole atmosphere is going to shift, and somebody's going to know that something different is happening. You didn't walk into the room. Jesus did. We're at that point right now in what God is doing. All right? When you're handing people their prescriptions, they should go out in the spirit. I'm serious. That's the way it should be happening. When I walked in a grocery store and just walked by, somebody ran at me. What did you do to me? I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. And the person was healed just because I walked past them. Are you there? Because this is where we have to be. And God's saying your state of mind has to be spiritual and not physical. Your mind has to be constantly on the heavenly realm and what you're supposed to be doing, not on the earthly realm and what's going on around about you. If you don't get your mind off of the earthly realm, God can't use you. All right. They used to say you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, you know, we need to be that way. We aren't earthly good. We're doing the things that heaven wants us to do. All right. So that's a good thing. If somebody says, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, say, great, I worked really hard to get there. You know, I've worked most of my life to get there. All right. Are you ready to walk in the Spirit 24/7? You know, you can walk in the Spirit 24/7 and still carry on everyday life. You can do that. You know, those who say, oh, no, I got to go in the room and you sit there. No, you don't. Life goes on. Jesus walked the earth, did he not? And he performed all those miracles. He didn't quit walking the earth. He didn't go hide in a room. He would go to the mountain every day and pray to his Father to get a fresh infilling, because I can guarantee you that he was being drained every day with everybody pulling on him, right? If five or six people pull on me, I think, hey, this is too much. Hey, Jesus had multitudes pull on him, and it wasn't too much. Are you listening here? You know, I've walked through this with God, so I know what I'm saying just recently. You know, if you can't deal with a few, how are you going to deal with the thousands? See what I'm saying? You know, the few are going to wear you out. And God can't give you 1,000 to minister to, because they'll kill you. Right? And that's what's been happening. And, you know, God had to open up your spiritual eyes that we can see what's really going on around about us. What are we really complaining about? Are you understanding here? You know, God's told me to put the things of the world in his hands. He just told me this the other day. He said, because what I'm doing with you is so wonderful. It's going to more or less blow your mind type of prophetic word. And so my family doesn't understand why I'm not getting all upset like I used to. It's because they've made their plans. I've made my plans. God said, leave them alone, and you just follow me. That's what we have to do. We've worn ourselves out trying to get the other saved, right? We've worn ourselves out praying, trying to keep them covered in the blood. Now, God says, you already did all that. Now they're mine. Now you move on, because you and I have a special work to do. Are you ready for that special work? God's asking you that tonight. Are you really ready? You can't be concerned what people are going to say about you. You just really cannot. Because God is on the move in a mighty way. Why not you be the vessel of honor that God uses to get your parents saved? You know? We already worked on our kids. Some of y'all still have parents alive. You know, get them saved. You be a vessel cleansed that God can use to bring the glory into the room that they're sitting in. And God said, no more delays. Heads up, work to be done. Very few are willing to do the work. Very few are willing to pay the cost. Some of you I know have worked for 10 years to get where you're at today, but you're here. You're there in your walk with God. So you know what you went through in the 10 years to get you where you're at? Minister to somebody else. But, you know, God says it's not going to take 10 years, because he's going to do a quick work in people, a really quick work, because he doesn't have another 10 years to work with people. It has to be a right now work. Are you ready for a right now work with God? You know, are you ready to lay it all down at his feet and just say, I'm your vessel that you can work through. All right? God's saying the angels are on the march. All of heaven is at attention. And now the church has got to come to attention. You have to lay aside all those things that so easily beset you. And just let God be God through you. And God said, this is going to be a very, very quick work. But the work is not going to stop until Jesus comes back again. So, you know, once you start walking in those miracles, it's going to be an everyday occurrence. And God has told us before that you'll have to quit your jobs in order to work for Him. Amen. So, what are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to give up to work for God? Who's stopping you from going 100% other way? Are you worried about what people say about you? That'll kill you. You cannot be concerned about what your kids are going to say, what your parents are going to say, what your neighbors are going to say. You can't be concerned about that. Because that's what's been holding you back all these years. You just have to go, just be like a little kid like me, just be crazy. And just go with the flow. And just let God use you any way He wants to use you. I don't care if it's chewing somebody out. I don't care if it's loving the unlovable. I just don't care what it is. Let God work through you. Why don't we become more like Jesus? And, you know, I was talking to God today, and I was saying, God, for what you're calling us to do, we have to be just like Jesus. He said, what's wrong with that? It's not sacrilegious to say I'm just like Jesus, because the Word tells us we need to be like Him. And if you look at your walk and you think of what God's having you do, it is just like Jesus. And I know that makes Jesus happy. He's waited a long time for you to finally get out through all this dumb stuff and finally just say, I surrender. I'm all yours. Crown of my head to the soles of my feet and everything that's spreading out this way. I'm all yours. Amen. Are you ready to really say that tonight? Wasn't that a wonderful experience in that pillar of fire? Yeah, I know it was. I don't understand why He did it to her. She comes in late and I chewed Joe out about that. Not even here on time, but she was here earlier tonight. But anyhow, we can all step into that pillar of fire tonight.